This is Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush.
I'm not crazy. I've just been in a very bad mood for 40 years.
I already got a guilty conscience. Might as well have the money, too.
With him, as always, Dan Muir.
If I thought you were my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
And Cassie George.
That is so fetch.
Discussing the important topics and finding the real answers.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Now, here is your host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, hour two on this Friday edition, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, John Rush, Andy Pate hanging around for just a little bit, and Scoop Keats also with us, or Dave Keita, either one works. So we're going to talk about millennials and why they're so obsessed with going to college, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, rights versus privilege, and what way does, you know, or does or doesn't a higher education matter? Lots of thoughts on this. We can go for, well, we'll go for a little while here. So if you've got thoughts on this as well, 303-477-5600. Throw this out to the audience to begin with. Do kids today need college? So I'll throw it out to you two to begin with, and we can ask the same thing to those that are listening. So I'll ask that question, 303-477-5600. Do kids need college?
Andy? Really, really quick before we jump in the answer, I need you to specify a little more, and here's what I mean. Do you mean in terms of getting quality skills or in terms of what the market demands?
Either. You tell me. Well, I think it goes both ways. So
I think for society, college is absolute necessity. Yes. I don't think that every kid needs college, though, and I don't understand why. It's something that I've actually wondered for a long time. Why is it so – it's like almost looked down upon to become a tradesman. You know, and somehow being a working man who is very highly skilled at some of these things is like, until you get older, it's like looked down upon. It's a really weird,
when you're younger,
it's difficult to describe emotion, but I know a lot of people can relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, I think a lot of it is pushed because, you know, it's pushed so much to them while they're in high school. Their high school teachers are saying, okay, you got to go to college, you got to go to college, you got to go to college. Here's what I've seen, John, and you and I have both been, you know, been in management for a lot of years. I'm going to be very honest about this. The skill level between a college graduate and a non-college graduate in the workplace is minimal. The difference is very, very minimal. I dealt, you know, and I've got a college degree myself, but I dealt with so many college graduates in the workplace who write poorly, who speak poorly, who aren't reliable, who quite honestly have very little in the way of extra skills that makes them better at their job than those who do not have college degrees. And I would even go a step further. The ones who don't have college degrees are not constantly needing that next raise because they're paying student loans.
You know, I needed college. I went into college and came out of college a different person.
Okay.
And
what did it do? What did it do for you?
I learned coping skills. I learned how, you know, kind of important deadline, kind of time management skills. I learned, I'm an excellent writer now. I was always an okay writer, but going through college, I developed those skills fully. And, you know, that's kind of where my focus was. So that's why. But I learned how to communicate. I learned interpersonal skills. You know, I learned how to improve myself. I've learned how to want to improve myself. I learned how to learn things.
Okay, but let me ask you this though, Dave. Okay, you were an inwardly motivated person that made good use of it. However, with the governmental pressure that is put on so many colleges, and even the private colleges because they have to compete, right?
Right.
To put out this many graduates with this high of a GPA and so forth, are they really demanding great quality? Or are they demanding more just quantity? Because I am sorry, the quality, and you're a smart guy. I know that just talking to you. You're obviously very eloquent and educated. But most of the college educated people I've dealt with in the workplace, this is going to sound bad, folks. Don't get angry at me. They couldn't keep up with me for 15 seconds in a discussion. They just couldn't. I felt like I was talking down to them constantly, virtually on any topic. They didn't manage things well. They didn't, They couldn't handle a crisis. They couldn't manage a business, you know, manage because they came out of this college world where, you know, of this entitlement mentality where things should always work hypothetically, right? So you didn't have to manage the resources perfectly. You didn't have to, everybody could have enough hours. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They weren't effective.
You know what else college taught me that I think is really important, which I don't think a lot of people do get, but I learned how to, when I believe something, to unpack it and figure out why I believe that or why I think those things, which I think a lot of people just kind of hear things and then they believe them. I've run this a lot with like anti-2A people who want to cut gun confiscation. Mm-hmm. They're like, I believe we should take away guns from people. And then you say, well, why is that? If you kind of backtrack them through, because they started with the conclusion and didn't really go from the beginning.
They didn't process it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I find that a lot. But that's something that college has taught me how to do.
And you are so much better equipped than, that's a great point, in defending on those topics because you had to go through that meat grinder than the mom and pop out in the suburbs who have never dealt with it.
Who might just go to the end result on their own and say, well, I want guns.
Right. But they can't defend why. They can't defend the issue. They're members of the NRA. They love their ability to defend themselves, but they can't go on the issue. And the same would be true on abortion. The same would be true on
any issue
after issue after issue. That's a great point because you're so challenged.
However, though, we also need tradespeople. And I think that, politicians always talk about trying to encourage people to go learn new trades and new things like that, but they're always promising, you know, Bernie Sanders free college and they're going to take it out of these rich people's house taxes or whatever,
right?
Like they did in San Francisco. But I don't understand why they couldn't put that towards plumbing and electricians and concrete guys and drywall guys and whatever else, all these other things that you need skills, mechanics, John, you know, master mechanics, things like that, where you need this really in-depth education.
Mm-hmm.
I want, you know, why don't we encourage people to do that more?
Well,
need those guys.
Marco Rubio was pushing heavily to have that put into our education system where training in those kinds of skills, the trade skills and so forth, would count just as much in your credits as other classes and could even displace them. Because he said, look, if somebody comes out and is a good plumber or a good mechanic or a good bricklayer, they're quite honestly going to make more money than a philosopher and be more useful to society. He says, we need them. Why are we not using our education system to train people across the board, including in those trades? I think it's a great idea.
Right. Well, a lot of it has turned into like a high school part two. The parents want their kids to get out of the house still, but they still live at home. They don't have any skills. They graduated from high school, and now they need somewhere to go, and so they just go. Because they want somewhere to go. And that's why you end up with protests and, you know, Play-Doh safe spaces and stuff like that on campus.
Do you think there's also something where parents basically, they don't want their kid in the coal mine? It's kind of like, I came up in the coal mine or the factory or the whatever.
That's a lot of it.
And I want my kid to
Do better than I did.
To do better than I did, yes. To be above that.
Yes.
But my question is, what makes anything else above that?
Real quick, by the way, folks, before we go to this next break, there is an emergency notification from Boulder County. They have issued a flash flood warning for, let's see here, most of what I would say is Boulder County. So there's automated rain gauges that are basically showing heavy rain near Sunshine Canyon, east to the city of Boulder, and northeast to Niwot. The rain is moving north at 10 miles an hour. Up to 2 inches of rain have already fallen in South Boulder, with about an inch of rain in other parts of the city, including near the mouth of Boulder Canyon. Minor flooding is already occurring across the city of Boulder. Some locations will experience flooding, including Boulder, Longmont, Western Broomfield, Lafayette, Louisville, Erie, Superior, Lyons, Jamestown, El Dorado Springs, Sunshine, Salina, and Niwot. This includes the extreme eastern parts of the 4 mile burn area as well. So if you are anywhere close to that, make sure that you get to higher ground now and do not get caught up in any kind of a flash flood. That is not something that you want to mess with. So get that taken care of. And tell you what, with that, we'll come right back. Let's do this. Life Choices coming up next. And lifechoices.org is the website where you can go and find out where all of the caring pregnancy centers are up and down northern Colorado. You can find out how to donate, how to refer somebody to one of their centers, and how to actually give other items. You can volunteer, you can give clothing, you can give diapers, formula, you name it, you can help out Life Choices. Again, lifechoices.org. Go there today. When you do, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Your Life Choices donation heals hearts. Kathy hated herself for taking the life of her unborn child. For 15 years, she carried the shame of a choice she could not undo. In order to become a Life Choices advocate, Kathy completed a course called Forgiven and Set Free. In that class, Kathy discovered that God loved her at her worst. The healing that Kathy experienced through Life Choices equipped her to extend compassion, first to herself and then to other women carrying the same heavy burden of shame. Your donation of $100 gives one woman the chance to experience freedom from guilt by attending an 11-week course on forgiveness. When you donate, you become the invisible advocate, standing in the room as another woman learns to accept the love of God. Participate in the work of healing with your gift of $100. Donate today at lifechoices.org.
It's crazy out there. What are we to think? And why does it matter? Kim Munson here. Start your day with us, the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We promise we'll dissect the issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. That's mornings, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 a.m. on KLZ 560.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Andy Pate, Party of Choice, Dave Keita with us as well, talking about millennials and the obsession of college, which we were talking during the break, may have even been led some by even guys, certain employers, correct?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this, John. You've employed a lot of people.
Yes.
And you, because of that, you're in that sector. You know a lot of employers. You know a ton of them. And how do I put this? Have you seen a lot of employers demanding that young people have a college degree, even in fields where it doesn't matter? And do you see that causing a problem?
Yes.
What do you see?
First of all, if it's not needed, why require it?
Right.
For example, had a good friend years ago, worked for the police force in Boulder. And, you know, was a seasoned veteran, been there a number of years, knew the, you know, basically knew the police force and everything they did inside and out, was a member of the SWAT team and so on. But for him to move up in seniority, he needed some sort, not even some sort of criminal law, but just some sort of 4-year degree to move up to the next
lesbian
level.
Lesbian dance theory degree.
It's just, yeah, I mean, he could have had anything.
The what?
I said a lesbian dance theory degree. Yeah. He could have got,
didn't matter.
A promotion.
There was nothing specific that he had to have. So what he started to do was, of course, you know, take classes and do different things and, you know, eventually try to get, you know, to the point where you can get that degree and then move up. But the reality is it was unrequired is what I'm trying to say. He already knew the job. He already knew what to do. He already knew how to increase what he was doing. He could have easily done it without the degree. Does it make sense?
Yeah. It does make sense.
So there's one example.
The thing that I always heard was, and by the way, don't rip on my degree, Dave. I take that personally. ministry, not lesbian dance. Okay, never mind. But the thing I constantly hear from these employers, because I've asked several of them, why do you require that? It means nothing this. And what I constantly hear is, well, it shows that they can follow through because they completed term papers, they completed classes, they can follow through on things. And I'm thinking to myself, I've known people who have never set foot in a college who are phenomenal at following through on things. I don't get it.
Well, I think there's also culturally, and I think it started the generation before you guys and maybe their generation before that. A lot of those people come into this country as immigrants. You know, my grandfather moved here as an immigrant, and one of his dreams was to make sure his kids could go to college. And that mm-hmm. was a big deal. Mm-hmm. To a lot of these people, and it still permeates through society that this is the American dream, and to be able to do that. And I mean, how many stories have you heard growing up? I was the first one in my family to go to college because my mom came from wherever, and you know, she had to work nights and do all this stuff. And you know, they came over; they were, you know, farmers or whatever it was. You know, my grandfather worked in U.S. Steel when he first came over from Poland, and he. you know, and that it was his, you know, dream that my dad would go to college. And so my dad has that same thing. And so my dad thinks I have to go to college. And, you know, there's a lot of stories like that. That's a huge swath of the culture.
Oh, absolutely. Fair enough. But wouldn't you think that back then a college degree was a guaranteed leg up? It really was. If you had a college degree, you came out of college, you were much better educated. You were much better skilled. You were worth much more money to prospective employers. I question whether that is still true. Or at least nearly to the extent of what you're paying for college. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Is it that true that are we basically operating on old beliefs? Because we're thinking back to a time when a college degree definitely made you a much more equipped person in the free market, and then we're applying that to today when it really doesn't.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think, first of all, way bigger problem than, you know, the three of us can fix and handle at the moment. I mean, this has been, you know, systemically, we've been headed this direction for a very long time, one from the employer side, one from just the educational side, one from, you know, a generational, you know, passing down that, hey, we don't want our kids to do what we did, so let's let them get an education, quote unquote, so they then can go out and change the world, let's say. With all that said, I think there is a shift going on right now where employers even are saying, whoa, time out. We, as much as anyone, sort of messed this thing up. You know, we are now kind of backtracking a little bit, saying, wait a minute, time out. We don't care if you have a 4-year degree in such and such. We need workers to do X. We just, you know, we need people that can come in, whether they're, in fact, in some cases, even if they're not skilled labor, we'll teach you the skills. We'll show you what it takes to actually get the job done, because there's such a lack right now. And yet we've still got kids that they're graduating as we speak. They'll be graduating here this weekend and next, and they're rolling out. They'll head off to college, and a lot of them don't even know what they're going to be doing in college. They have no idea what their degree is going to be, but they think they have to have that piece of paper to actually make a good living, and the reality is they don't.
Hire for talent, train for skills.
Agreed.
And that, to me, is the best way to go about it. By the way, do you also see, because I've seen some of this, a lot of employers, because they had to go through and get a college education, because they had to go through that, they don't want somebody else coming up the ladder.
I think there are...
I had to do it. You have to do it.
I think there are division/certain types of managers that may have authority inside of companies that definitely feel that way. Yes.
You see, here's the...
Almost like a rite of passage.
Here's the biggest tragedy to me, John. I think we're making people wait way too long to get in the workplace and really get to it. I mean, really get in the workplace to dig in. There are people right now who are 17 who are better employees.
Agreed.
And ready to go, more ready to go than people who are 37.
Agreed.
Get them out there, man. Get them out there. They've got the talent. They got the fire. Train those skills.
Agreed.
And they will pick them up quick.
Agreed.
Let's put them out there. What are we making them waste? Four years in college. Now, I can understand the 8-year degrees, being a doctor and so forth. I get that. That's probably not something to train on the fly, brain surgery. But, you know, but in most jobs, get them out there. Yeah. Because I think producing in the free market is better training than learning about it in a hypothetical setting.
Ken and Bertha, you're next. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, somebody may be able to call in and fill in the blanks, but I remember taking business law, and one of the court cases was based somewhat on affirmative action, and it was a utility. And they said, you know, people were getting turned down when they were qualified for a higher position, and the court ruled that the requirements that they had set were unrealistic. They did not have, they weren't necessary, just like you were sharing, for the position. And they ruled that they had to accept someone in that position that did not have that, you know, let's say college degree, because if it wasn't necessary for the position.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that there were kind of good old boys clubs with employers who are basically setting up a firewall of requirements so that only their buddies or people they knew would go through those steps to get there, and they were actually using it to wall out other people getting in? Is that what they were kind of thinking with the law?
Right. That's what they were. Yes, totally agree. But, you know, I still also, from my perspective, agree with what the one boss told you. It, you know, when you, it does prove that people can follow through. There is a good side to having, even if it's a 2-year degree,
okay,
any degree,
okay,
that they, because there are too many people that I see where I work, you know, millennials, and, you know, they'll just not show up. We'd have like 3 or 4 quit just recently.
Okay.
They'll just stop showing up. And what do you do about that? You know, people that are 40 and 50, they don't do that. But people that are in their 20s and 30s, they'll just stop showing up and they don't call you. So you fire them, and whenever they get in touch, they say, well, I was going to quit anyway. It's like that's what the one said this week, you know. Mm.
So, do you think, Ken, that has anything to do with certain types of jobs, trades, businesses, or do you think, and I always hate to make a blanket statement because I know there are some really good, fantastic, you know, millennials that are out there. I mean, I've got my own kids that are, you know, that qualify for that, so I don't want to just throw them all under the bus by any stretch of the imagination. But do you think there are certain, you know, sectors of the economy or of industry where that's more prevalent than others?
See, I couldn't say that, but I could say this. I've seen it both in industry and in, you know, Walmart, and they'll just not show up. I've known enough of them to just, it's like, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at work? Oh, well, I was going to go to the movies. You know, there's some kind of different standard that I think parents are setting.
Mm.
Okay. Well, it's an entitled. Really go ahead, Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I agree with it. It's just, I think parents, they're not setting the standard. Well, maybe it's like this. I look back before my grandparents, they saved everything. You know, you look in their attic and they had stuff from when they were 2.
Okay.
Because everything broke and it cost a fortune to fix. Then came the next generation, and I think they were too loosey with money because they all of a sudden had more money than they had ever seen in their life. Well, those people produced kids. And those kids and their kids now, they are saying, want to start off in their first house, be like, you know, $250,000. Like, get real.
One quick question,
Ken. They don't have any thought.
Sorry to interrupt. One quick question, though, because you were saying college degree does show that they can follow through. And I agree. Would an apprenticeship also serve that purpose? If somebody's
good
gone
question.
Through an apprenticeship, now they have the skills you actually want. And this is what Marco Rubio is talking about. Why can't apprenticeships actually get degrees and apply toward much of your degree? An apprenticeship has to show you got to show up at that job
good
doing
point.
That work.
That's a good point, too.
They used to. When I was growing up, apprenticeships did end up with a degree. You know, a journeyman got a journeyman's card. You know, after X number of years of doing so-and-so or to some level, you changed from being what they call the machine operator to a machinist.
Okay.
From being an apprentice to a journeyman. You know, same with electricians. You know, maybe that's a dying thing. I'm not sure. I know I've had people show up at the house, you know, that you hire to do a repair, and they're like, they don't have a clue, you know, but yet they make great money. So maybe what you're saying is maybe they're talking about bringing it back.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. That shows that you really grasp, you know, basically what these people are showing and when they don't show it, when they don't show the responsibility. I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, maybe you'll start something new, a new wave.
We'll find out. Ken, thanks again. We appreciate it. We've got lines open, 303-477-5600. Bob and Thornton, hang tight. We'll get you right after the break. Again, we're talking about college. And first of all, do our high school graduates need to go to college to get a good job? And, you know, do they need a 4-year degree? And then I guess the second part of that question was, who caused all of this? Because we've got a lot of industry that, in some cases, I'll tell you right now, don't really need a 4-year degree to do what they do. We'll come back and talk about that here in just one moment. Affordable Interest Mortgage coming up next. Kurt Rogers, our good friend, he would love to take care of you and help you with all of your mortgage needs. 720 895-0500. He's mobile. He'll meet you anywhere up and down the Front Range. He's my mortgage broker, and he can be yours as well. Call him now and tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Welcome to Save Our Soldiers, an ongoing feature from the Crawford family and Crawford Broadcasting to inform veterans about opportunities and assistance programs in their area.
The best veteran resources don't always show up with a Google search. That's why Veterans Passport to Hope created the Colorado Resource Portal for Veterans. The portal compiles local resources that are 100% free of charge for veterans and their families. Find local organizations that will help you get a job, provide counseling for you and your family, offer college scholarships for your children, or even take you on outdoor adventures. The portal is easy to navigate and lets you leave reviews for other vets. The research is already done, so visit Veterans ResourcePortal.com and find out what your community offers. VeteransResourcePortal.com.
This has been Save Our Soldiers, a production of Crawford Broadcasting. For more information about any of the veterans programs you've heard about on SOS, please contact this station.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dave Keita, and Andy Pate, Party of Choice. Talking about college. Do we need college? Do our kids need college? They're graduating as we speak. Great topic, by the way. And let's talk to Bob in Thornton. Bob, welcome. What do you think?
Hey, John.
How are you, sir?
Bob from Thornton. You probably know a little bit about my background.
I do.
In 1967, when I graduated from high school at the age of 17, there was a bit of nepotism, but my brother, two cousins, and an uncle got me an intern job with New York Telephone. And I drove around in a truck at 2 in the afternoon picking up nickels, dimes, and quarters out of payphones. Shortly thereafter, I got drafted in the Army. When I came back from the Army, I went back to the work at the phone company. And they found me a job working from midnight till 8, and they encouraged me to go to school during the day, which I did. So I got an engineering degree after 4 years, but I found that most of my useful education came from a mentoring protege kind of a situation. And I grew up through the ranks, and I became an engineer. And then at the age of 42, they said, well, if you want to step up, you got to get a master's degree in something.
Okay.
So I got an MBA, which was the easiest thing to get, and I became the boss of my group, which was a nosebleed. But anyway, then I was more, instead of working in my field, I was more interested or responsible for budgets, meetings, logistics, that kind of thing, which was thrown out, but... And I retired at age 51. Now I'm going to drop back to my father, who went to work for a tire company in Buffalo, New York, Dunlop Tire, at the age of 19, and worked there till he was 62. He never finished high school, and he started building tires when he was 19 years old. And he was the manager of the quality control department, and never got an advanced degree. Never. Just moved up through the ranks.
Yep. I gave the story the other day, Bob, and I don't want to give a person's name out because of, you know, because it's radio and so on. But I knew a guy once when we had our facility in Boulder, and one of my best customers there was a particular gentleman. Actually, became good friends. He was a good friend of mine, and he was a guy that was very, very high up at Ball Aerospace. In fact, one of their lead engineers had a lot to do with the products that they were building back in that day, and was, you know, the head of a particular division even. I mean, this guy was high up. He did really well, made really good money, and had an eighth grade education. So, you know, did he have the learning experience and all of the other things it took to get the job? And of course he did. So, you know, to say he didn't have education and that he didn't know what he was doing would have been inaccurate, because he did. He had everything he needed to get that job done without the piece of paper that said he had a four-year degree. Makes sense?
It does. And you know what's missing in today's business climate is two-way loyalty. The employer has a loyalty to you. You have a loyalty to the employer.
True.
And you, you'll separate the wheat from the chaff on the way up. The people that are willing to devote the time and, you know, you pick up things over the course of years. And if you have value or add value to what you're doing, you're going to progress. But, you know, those days are over. Everybody wants a quick hit and then quit and go to somewhere else and another quick hit and go to, you know, it's just, we had longevity and loyalty when I was coming up through the ranks.
Agreed.
And it has paid off for me. I mean, I retired from a company that still values their loyalty to me because they pay me a nice pension and my benefits and so on and so forth. But I devoted 33 years of my life to them. And when they required something of me, and I performed.
You know, I think it's interesting that you say that, because I was reading an article not too long ago about how the difference between how many jobs boomers had versus how many jobs millennials have on average. And boomers had average like 2-3 jobs. Millennials, the average is something like 12 or 13 jobs, and that you have to go through all the different things, because I don't know, are they looking for their place? Is it because their skill set? Is it because of this widespread entitlement that people think like they deserve more or whatever?
Well, part of that is because we only live to be boomers. We only live to be 55. John and I could go at any moment. You may have to finish the show your own. But I mean, a lot of that is that, you know, and I think Bob put it so well. He put in 33 years. That is 33 years, Bob, that your employers didn't have to hire and train anyone else.
It's worth a
lot. That's why you got the big pension and everything, because you saved them way more money than that pension every year you were there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't working for a pension. It was a total remuneration.
Right.
I knew that part of my compensation was my weekly or monthly salary, and as the years went by, I had accrued more benefits. Accumulated more and more vacation time, more and more pension eligibility, and so on and so forth. So I could have changed jobs, I suspect, over the years, but I devoted that time to a company that I thought was going to reward my loyalty with their loyalty. And I don't know that that's the case any longer.
No, and this is also, by the way, I'm sorry to take a little bit of a rabbit trail here. This is why I hate having a very high minimum wage, okay? Because when you do that, you can't give people, you know, really good raises. The profit margin isn't there.
Right.
So you got people coming in making almost as much as somebody who's been there 2 years. You don't know if you want to pay the two-year person more. Why? They've already demonstrated they're a Bob. They're not going to be jumping to the next thing. You're not going to be investing 6 months in training for nothing. Whereas with this new person getting $15, you have no idea. You have no idea if you're wasting your time training.
You know, you guys are talking, touching on something. Sorry, Bob, but one second. You guys are talking about something that Charlie tells me all the time that he says he appreciates about me. He says that you can't pay somebody to care.
True.
And I don't know if there's an answer of how to help somebody care, but I think that's important. Is like, that's something that I truly care about my job, and
it's,
I want to do a good job.
I pay my wife
you
to care.
You can't pay people,
or she won't
to do
it.
Yeah, my career, my pay raises and my benefit raises and so on and so forth came with incremental responsibility, incremental experience, incremental devoting my time to improve my skills and so on and so forth. So as years went on, I realized that this was a good path, and I worked for the same company, but as I rewarded them, they rewarded me.
Well said. Well said.
Thank you.
Good stuff, Bob. I appreciate it very much, and I think what Bob just said is what, for the most part, I mean, I know there's a few weird employers out there that may not look at it this way, but I've always been one to say, you know, you make me money, I'll make you money.
Yeah.
It's real easy. It's not a hard equation here. If you make me money, I will make you money, and we'll make this thing work. And typically, it does.
Well, you know, getting back to Marco Rubio, because this is not because he's my guy. This is his topic, all right?
Okay.
And education and the workplace. He really would like to see two big changes. And by the way, Trump has been starting to talk some of this, so they must have been talking. Number one, he would like to see more employers hiring people for their total education. And that includes the time in the trade, the time in the business, the time showing they can show up to work on time. And secondly, he would like to see colleges applying credits, real credits, to those things. So giving you credit for those things. He doesn't think just it should be more than just three credits because, oh, you interned. No, 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 no. If you spend a year or two in applying a trade, he feels that's worth a year or two of education because you have shown that you can see it through and you're that much better at the job.
And I would agree. Did we have some Facebook messages you want to read? Let's do that.
I had a really great Facebook message from this guy, Matthew Stevens, a friend of the show. But he was just talking about some of the things, and so, you know, and it actually touched on our very first topic of the day. But it says, when we were in high school, we had metal shop, wood shop, aviation, even plastics, working with plexiglass. The schools would help you with blue-collar careers if college wasn't your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it seems like they treat you like you're a loser if you're not college-bound. Do you think that it has something to do with school shootings? That's what how's he ends the comment. And I mean, I can't say that. It's hard to say whether it does or doesn't, but I see that
there's a point
kind
there.
Of disability. I mean, not everybody is built for college. Not everybody. And I had shop class when I was in high school, but they don't really have it anymore.
It doesn't exist. There's a few places where as electives or as even an alternative, kids that are struggling in school or so on, they could actually go there. But it's just not a part of the normal day-to-day schooling like it was. And frankly, guys, that started to end, and Andy, you probably can remember this. It started to end in our era.
Yeah.
So even by the time I was a senior in high school, there were a few high schools around that were still doing shop and home ec and things like that, but it was even starting to dwindle at that point.
Yeah, and right now there's nobody does it except for places like Emily Griffith.
That's right.
I would think that the shootings and so forth, now those come from isolated instances of mental illness, and they also, I think, come from a pervading change in our society from responsibility to entitlement, which changes an entire way people look at other people around them and devalue them. But I will say this. Back when schools elevated the trades to the same level,
and you
can throw in home ec and
the same value on them.
They put the same value on them as the other aspects. Back then, they weren't. You went into a school and you didn't have this feeling that the school was looking at you and saying, "You must be in this mold, or we don't like you. Right. If you're a square peg, we're going to hammer you into this round hole." Otherwise, back then it was more, "We are there for you. We are there to develop you as you are and develop your skills as they are. Make you well-rounded. You got to have a little of everything so you can function in society. But we are there to develop you to be the best you are." Now it is. We've got to get you to come in, play to the test, so we can put out the numbers and justify our money. And that is a devaluing that of young people that can, let's just say, add to one more thing that can frustrate them.
Sure. And they also give them drugs, though, if they're this round peg. You know,
oh, there's a good
square,
point.
They're like, oh, well, you know what can help you to be a round peg is these drugs or whatever.
Yep.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
All right, let's do this. We will go to Colorado Wellness Dentistry. Coming up next, Dr. Stephen Olson. He would love to take care of you and all of your oral care needs. And don't procrastinate. Get that done now, because we know that what goes on in your mouth affects your overall care. Dr. Stephen Olson, 303-953-4812. It's ColoradoWellnessDentistry.com. When you call them, tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Just try and tell Dr. Olson that you have no time for the dentist. He will call your bluff. You see, Dr. Olson knows what you really mean.
It becomes a priority type thing. You have time for what you really value? The answer is yes. I'll tell you, I've been in dentistry a long time. The latest research is now showing heart attacks related to infections. The biggest source of undiagnosed, untreated infections for most people is in their mouth.
Look, Dr. Olson can't force you to care about your teeth. All he can do is present the facts and cut to the chase. Stop pretending that you don't have time for the dentist and admit that until now, you haven't prioritized dental care. No shame, you probably didn't know any better. But now that you've heard from Dr. Olson how serious oral infections can be, you really don't have an excuse. Go ahead, make that appointment with Colorado Wellness Dentistry, 303-953-4812.
When it's time to find a mechanic you can actually trust, ColoradoSelect.com is here to help. Colorado Select is a group of independently run member shops who all work together to change the standard of friendly customer service and expert auto care. To become a member of Colorado Select, a shop is fully vetted. John Rush personally checks out all of the industry certifications, he knows the owners, he assesses the techs, and he finds out what the customers have to say. He even makes sure that the garage itself is up to the high Colorado Select standards. That's how you know you can really trust to all of the Colorado Select members with your vehicle. Visit any Colorado Select member shop and get the friendly, honest, expert service, all backed by an industry-leading 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty that will help keep your car or truck running for as long as possible. Find a shop nearest you at ColoradoSelect.com. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, John Rush, Andy Pate, Party of Choice, and Dave Keita. And we're talking about college. Talked about that most of this hour, which we'll probably finish that up here in just a few minutes. We've got about 10 minutes of this hour left. One more full hour coming your way. We open up the lines. Anything you want to talk about will be up next. We're talking about college, though, millennials. And this really is because even the kids coming out right now of high school are not millennials. They're that generation or two after.
Generation Y, I think.
Generation Y, okay. So, again, folks, do we need higher education? Now, Dave, you and I were talking before the show that in some cases, yes, we do. You know, do I want my doctor to just learn by practicing all these years without having some sort of a solid medical foundation before he ever starts with that scalpel or even a needle and thread to sew up a wound? You know, do I want him doing that without having some proper education, training, knowing the body parts, so on and so forth?
Well, if he's done it long enough to where his death rate is under 10%.
We're okay?
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
I'd probably go with it then. I mean, I wouldn't want to be with him early on.
Got it.
As he's just
test
learning
patient
on the fly.
Got it.
I don't think it's just doctors and engineers that need to go to college. Like I said earlier, I did need to go to college to become a complete man,
okay.
I think. And I needed it, and it helped teach me how to do that.
Okay.
Not everybody can do that, though. Yes, I did, because it was in my personality, and it was my, whatever, my path to do that.
Got it.
And I think a lot of people are pushed that way, and they do it whether they should or not,
okay,
which is where I think the problem lies. Because, no, I don't think everybody needs to, and I don't think we should tell everybody that everybody needs to. And I'm glad that I did, because it really helped me and it developed me into the person that I am today. But not everybody goes through college. Like Andy said earlier, there's a lot of people that go through college that kind of float through,
yeah,
don't really do it, don't really learn all the lessons that you're supposed to learn like I did.
Well, and like with me, you know, I have both a college degree and I'm a veteran. You know, I did my 4 years in the military. So, you know, did I need that? Yeah, I think so. I think it was crucial on my path. But does it have to be everybody's path? No.
No. And not everyone can be a doctor or engineer.
Your wife texted you something. And Dan just did as well, so I'll read his as well.
Yeah. It's a great point from my wife, Corey. And it's talking about, you know, we're talking about all these people who aren't reliable. These employees, they come in, they're only there 6 months. You look in their eyes, you know they're going to be gone soon. Why even train them? And she says, yeah, but companies aren't loyal to people today either. Mm. And that is an excellent point. If you come into a business or you've been there for a while and you see that the managers, the bosses are constantly looking for the new hottest employee to come in, the new young guy or girl who's going to come in and show people up, mm-hmm, you're not going to feel very loyal, and you may check out. Mm. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
You want loyalty, give loyalty.
Agreed. Dan texted in, the new Douglas County School Board is seriously considering getting rid of the remaining vo-tech classes in the Douglas County School. So even the little bit of trades that are left there, the new school board is seriously considering getting rid of. And, you know, here's another thing we haven't talked about yet. So we got a couple minutes. I want to get you guys' feelings on this. Dan saying this just kind of proud of my memory, I guess. Do you think that public schools like the school board, which we know just switched from conservative to liberal, so now they're going to get rid of the trade school end of things, basically.
Right.
Do you think the left and liberals in general don't like trade schools because it doesn't give them the opportunity to indoctrinate for another four, mainly 5 years, when that kid, that student, is actually going through college? Instead, they go to a trade school for, say, 2 years. They come out, they start working, they get in the real world, and in some cases, probably vote a little more conservative than liberal. Do you think that's part of why maybe trade schools don't exist like they used to? Or not trade schools, but vo-tech doesn't exist like it used to?
I don't know, because a lot of them who come out of trade schools go into unions and thereby vote pretty left-wing.
But not all.
Not all.
Like in our area here, for example, carpenters, there's not a union for carpenters. Technicians, auto technicians, there's no union for that. You know, painters, collision center guys that, you know, work in the automotive world. Plumbers are. Electricians are. I'm trying to think of other trades where it'd be either union or non-union. Name some others.
Okay, wait. You make a good point, because Let's face it. You don't train up a socialist voter base with metal shop.
Typically not.
Here's the problem with all this, though. It's a very bad plan, because what's going to happen when we run out of plumbers?
We're already there.
Right.
We've already achieved that, Dave.
I mean, we're not out of plumbers yet, but we're running
very close.
Quickly.
Well, we're at a point where, because of those shortages, electricians, carpenters, plumbers, I mean, even guys framing houses right now, we are so short in this state of those trades that we can't build enough houses to meet the demand for the people that are moving in, because there's just not enough folks out there to get the job done.
We talk about getting all this illegal help because Americans won't do those jobs. Well, you know what? That's not true, but it's partially true. And isn't it because America, once again, be it employers or academia or whatever, lecture people on you have to have a college degree, mm-hmm. and you have to go into trades that use college degrees or need them, otherwise you are a lesser human being. Mm-hmm. And then we turn around and want these kids to work the fields in the summer. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to. Mm-hmm. But you've been telling me for years that is the very thing I'm supposed to escape.
Yeah.
All right? And so they don't want to do it, even if you pay higher. And so in comes illegal help. Does that also act as a magnet for that problem?
Great question. And by the way, we can go a little longer in this in the 5 o'clock hour. I realize we can open up the lines. We always open up the lines. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. So if it's off topic, that's fine. Typically, we try to stay on topic. In this case, if it's 5 o'clock and you call in, you want to talk about something totally different, that's fine. If you want to continue to talk about some of this college stuff, though, which, by the way, this is a big deal. There's a lot of kids, again, as I just said a moment ago, that are graduating, getting out of college as we speak. Where are they going to go next? Some have no idea. They're going to college and getting debt racked up either for them or for mom and dad or the combination thereof, and don't really even know what career path they're going to go down. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah, they're just they're very, very aware of social problems. Mm-hmm. They don't have any idea how to unpack them, any idea how to solve them, any idea where they come from, or necessarily the desire to stop them, because what else would they do? You have nothing to analyze if you fix these problems.
Well, if they're a right-winger like you, then they got a lot out of going to college because they were constantly challenged in their thinking and they knew how to challenge back. If they're a left-winger who went, they come out totally unchallenged and less able to function.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Last break this hour, Denver Car Brothers. Now, if you're somebody that's in the need of a vehicle, and we talked about this yesterday, if you're looking for a graduation vehicle, a senior in high school going off to college, or a college graduate, you know, there's a couple of choices there. You can either buy a car for them, new or used. Dan and Mike Lather would love to help you with that at Denver Car Brothers, which you can find, by the way, at denvercarbrothers.com. Or, better yet, pass yours down and buy something new for yourself. It's denvercarbrothers.com, 720-323-9894. We say this all the time. Just text DRIVE to that number, 720-323-9894, and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Set your grad up for success and get them a car from the Denver Car Brothers. You have always tried to be the best parent you can be. Tough? but fair, with a lot of fun. That's why, when your kid graduates, you want something really special. Skip the pen set that will never get used and don't give cash that'll just get wasted. You want to set them up for success with something that will actually benefit them long term. This is a win-win. After you experience the easiest and most affordable car buying experience ever, not only do you never have to drive your kid around again, but you'll be getting them something that will teach responsibility and it will improve their credit. You'll be getting their adult life started off on the right foot. Plus, a car from the Denver Car Brothers will make you look like the parent of the century. Text the word DRIVE today to 720-323-9894 and the Denver Car Brothers will take care of the rest. Just text DRIVE to 720-323-9894 and let the Denver Car Brothers help you set your grad up for success.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Mason, you're up next. Got a little bit of time here left in this hour, about 1 minute is all. What do you got for us?
When I actually graduated my degree in a year, my bachelor's degree.
Okay.
And I did it through things called CLEP tests, which are basically, they're tests that you pay $80 for.
Yep.
As opposed to like a normal $1,000 class.
Correct.
So if you do a bunch of those, which I did, I tested out about 3/4 of my degree. And so I graduated about a year and 4 months. And so I always feel like I have to tell anybody talking about the college debt crisis and how much of an issue is, and just take it into your own hands. Take CLEP tests. There's other ones called DSST tests, which are very similar, but for the upper level courses, while CLEPs are for the lower level courses. And so, that's
great suggestion, Mason. Great. Appreciate that. So those of you that are listening that may be even headed to college here in the not too distant future, this next fall, for example, some may take summer school and start earlier. Just depends on what you're trying to do. Take his advice. We had some kids that did that. And yeah, you can actually get through college typically a little quicker than you would otherwise.
Wish I'd known about that. I could have taken some of those tests.
Yeah, it really helps. You bet. Definitely. All right. With that, we'll be back. Our last hour of the week coming up next. John Rush, Dave Kiedemann with us this whole time. Andy Pate also, party of choice. Charlie Grimes, our engineer, will come right back. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.